Hi, this is Greg Robertson. Welcome to another edition of Listing Bits. With today, I have another special guest because, as I always say, all my guests are special. The one, the only, Art Carter, CEO of CRMLS. How you doing, Art?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, man. Good. Thanks a lot for taking the time here. Drove up here to lovely San Dimas, right next to the Wet n Wild. Is it Wet n Wild or?
It's Raging Waters.
Raging Waters. Sorry. Yeah. I was maybe thinking of something else. Sorry. Park next to you guys.
That was the Clarity Conference last week.
Oh, was it? That was what that was. Yeah. I appreciate you spending the time here talking to me. But, you know, let's think about this. How long have we known each other? If I remember correctly, the first time I met you was when Power, Pacific West Association, was coming on the scene, and you were the CFO or the controller in some capacity over there. Is that
right? I was the CFO there, and I think the first introduction that you and I had is that I was your largest reseller of Lightning and Lightning CMA.
So that's right. Yeah, you guys were. I remember Pacific West was doing something. Nancy really kind of, and I guess back then, kind of revolutionary in a way where you guys got a call center. And you were like, members could call in and you would service them via the call center. You had an online store. You were kind of doing everything as this kind of really member services with product driven type of association, right? I mean, that was the big deal.
Correct. Yeah. It was kind of a cool time. Nobody was really doing all the things that we were doing. And Nancy and her foresight was really pushing the envelope in a number of different ways. And, you know, one of my favorite quotes during that time was a consultant they brought in, and he told us, if you guys aren't making mistakes, you aren't trying. And I think it was, you know, Nancy's foresight and the board of directors supporting her at Pacific West that really allowed us to push the envelope. And some things worked, some things didn't work, but I think overall, it really pushed the association world to a level it hadn't been before.
Yeah. And I remember this is back when Dave Rifkin used to work with us, and he was like, dude, Power's where it's these guys have got a new thing going on and we got to spend some time and energy here. And I mean, I don't know if I've ever told you this story before, but you guys had these call center people, right? And back at the time we had our Lightning software, and then you had Stellar View. And we wanted the phone reps, when somebody would call in for access software, we wanted to buy Lightning, of course. And so we were trying to get these guys to understand that we had two big things. It found your modem for you automatically. And I think you can install it on three computers, not two. So what I would do is, when we got you guys as resellers, is I had a list of all the names of the call center people. And I think me and Dave did this, where we would call, hello, this is Felicia. Oh, hi, Felicia. I'm looking to access the MLS. What do I need for that? Oh, you need Stellar View. Oh, okay. Does that find your modem for you automatically? And she would like look at, I could hear some sheet ruffling. No. How many computers can I install it on? It looks like two. Well, I need to install it on three. Do you have anything else that maybe it might do that? And then I would force her to kind of figure that out. And then I would call back, and then, hi, Felicia, hang up. Hi, Fred. Hey, Fred, how you doing? So we would kind of, I wouldn't say game, but we educated them in different manners back in the day.
Yeah, I wasn't aware that you guys had done that.
You have to hustle, man. You have to hustle to make it happen. But again, you guys turned out to be one of our largest resellers, so it was a good thing.
Yeah, we were moving a lot of software for—
That was a fun time, too, back then. I mean, you know, you had a great crew there, too, right? Some of them still there. And is Power still the largest association in California?
No, actually not. One of my other members now at CRMLS, I think, has surpassed them in size.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Orange County Association.
Oh, really? Wow. That's interesting, man.
I'll get in trouble for mentioning that. But yeah.
Well, that's the old Fountain Valley, Huntington Beach. They still got a satellite up
Saddleback.
There. Saddleback. Saddleback, yeah. Yeah, interesting. So then I'm kind of blurry on what happened. I mean, you were there for a while. And then I remember it was MRMLS, and they got involved with Superlative, who copied the Stellar software program.
No. They didn't copy the Stellar.
Oh, they didn't. What was it?
They were accused of copying.
They were accused of copying. Sorry. It was alleged.
There was an alleged copying of the software.
Which is amazing to me that, you know, the internet came and they wanted like a faux Stellar system on the internet, which is amazing.
You know, there was, I think, some distinct differences, but, you know, it was really the first of its kind, you know, an internet-based
text-driven
MLS system.
Yeah, MLS system knows. And it was way ahead of its time or behind its time, however we want to look at it.
Yeah, I worked from, I believe, 97 through 2005 at Pacific West and took over for the MRMLS at the time.
Yeah, MRMLS, yeah.
And
that was Brian Chen.
Brian Chen was prior to me.
What's up with Brian Chen? Is he still around?
He's still around.
Yeah, is he a broker?
Yeah, he practices real estate in the San Gabriel area. So I'm still involved with one of my member associations. So I see him all the time.
What an adventure he had, right?
Oh, yeah.
That time was really just fraught with a lot of changes.
With everything that was going on in the industry, you know, trying to figure out the whole entire concept of big data before big data was even on people's minds, and the whole situation with Rebig, and you know, the lawsuit that MRMLS was going through at the time. So I took over in 2005 there at MRMLS, and we've grown, you know, significantly. I tell people, you know, all the time that when I took over, we had a little over 21,000 members, and we have 82,000 members right now. And it's
okay, what was the beginning number?
21,000.
Jiminy Christmas, dude. Wow.
21,000 and 13 associations, and now 82,000 and 37 associations.
Right. So then get me to the point where – so then when did the whole CalRED initiative – I mean, there were other initiatives in between that. I know there was something that was going on in the LA area that really didn't take –
Yeah, the great thing about the MLS industry is there's always something going on. I made a joke, you know, 10 plus years ago that if the MLS industry had a face, that face would have a facial tick because we're always being threatened by somebody or something. You know, Billy Chi said, you know, talked about the lion coming over the hill in the late 90s, and we're always, you know, concerned about something. And, you know, 2007 through 2010 was consumed with the whole entire idea of this statewide MLS. And
right. So that was a 2007.
2007, there was a advisory group that was started at the CAR level that interviewed a lot of the MLSs, went out and talked up and down the state with brokers and practitioners and agents. And
now you're at MRMLS at this time.
I'm at MRMLS at this time.
Okay. And so then, but that was a separate, and that wasn't owned by CAR, wasn't part of really CAR. I mean, its members were, mm-hmm. but I mean, it wasn't to the capacity that it, I guess, later became, right?
No, and really what was happening around that same time is that I think, especially in Southern California, the MLSs were learning from some of the comments that were being made and the reports that were being made consistently at the CAR meetings that our brokers and our agents wanted something far more expansive than they were already getting.
Yeah. When I got in the game, which was 90, you know, this is probably about the mid-90s, it was OCMLS had started, and that was half of the county was on Compass and half was on Stellar, mm-hmm. right? And that's the birth of Lightning because you had to buy two access programs. And then I think later on, it was just Newport Beach had their own system, and then you still had MRMLS and, you know, Sandy Corps down there, and then SoCalMLS I was called, right? I mean, mm-hmm. just a very, very different.
And it still occurs today, but the MLS industry was putting boundaries on agents where there weren't natural boundaries.
Right.
And I think that, you know, loud and clear, you know, one of the driving, you know, moving forward to CRMLS today, one of the driving kind of thought processes that goes on with our board of directors, you know, it's been reaffirmed through four or five strat planning sessions, is this whole entire concept that the consumer has been empowered by the industry so much more than agents and brokers have been.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And from my standpoint, I mean, my business partner, Dan, he always says that the industry deserves better software than they get currently. That was a really kind of a driving vision for our company.
The industry, you know, and I say this in front of my members, I say it in front of people that we're talking to, the industry, agents and brokers deserve much better than they're getting, period. And, you know, the MLS is such an important piece of that right. pie. And, you know, I always smile when I hear people say that the MLS industry's got 5 years and it's gone.
Well, 10 days is really what
it
was, right?
You know, we won't go there, but you know, we've got this short period of time until, you know, the industry is sunsetted. Brokers and agents, especially agents who are out there working on a day-to-day basis, don't feel that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they may not like certain things about what it is that is going on, but for the most part, they see value. And I tell people all the time, I don't run a technology company. I don't run this association or something along those lines. What I run is a broker cooperative. And it's all about, you know, agents and brokers, you know, cooperating with one another. And it is such a unique and important part.
And difficult job.
Well, not only so much that, you know, I have 82,000 type A individuals who take services from us. And, you know, that is a good thing. And sometimes it can be a challenge to manage. But, you know, for the most part, you know, I think in talking with individuals from other countries about what they face on a day-to-day basis and trying to transact real estate, the people in the United States who practice real estate have no clue how good it is compared to what's going on in other countries.
What's going on in countries. Okay, so let's come back to like CRMLS now, but I want to go a little bit to the history here. So around 2007-ish, you know, this CalRED initiative started forming, and then they chose to go with basically a new vendor, right? And I think that the fault of this was of their initiative a little bit was underestimating what it was going to take to change. Number two, I think the platform was flash-based, and this is right before the iPad. And there's, you know, tons of stories about, you know, in the MLS industry of people choosing that wrong thing once the iPad showed up. And there's just some backlash a little bit out there. But so CalRED started to happen. It began to unravel. CAR then, well, what's the history?
There was a number of things that was going on. I mean, the MLSs, in especially in Southern California, I think listened. And we started an initiative by the name of Carrots. Mm-hmm. And the idea was this aggregation of data. And mergers are difficult. You know, we put our first merger together post me starting at MRMLS in 2007 with Greater South Bay Multiple Listing Service.
Jay.
And Jay Houlihan.
Yeah, Jay Houlihan. Wow.
You know, mergers, I think, take years off of your life. And, you know, they don't get easier. Even the smallest of associations that have joined CRMLS, it's been a long process. But Carrots, the whole entire ideal was, let's put all the data together. Let's worry about mergers and all the stuff, the consolidation, but let's just put the data together. And it was a very successful, at times, concept. And I think it mollified a lot of the uprising you might have felt in Southern California with this, what David Sharon is named overlapping market disorder. CalRED, you know, was being, you know, formulated at that time, and Carrots came, you know, into fruition around 2008, 2009.
Yeah, I can tell you, I mean, my own personal Carrot story, if there's such a thing, was when we launched Cloud CMA here. I mean, this is the first market, you know, I moved back from Florida, I was out here. And because of Carrots being on one single database for Dan and I remember making calls to you, and I think I talked to Daniel up at LA and a couple others. And within like, because it was a different structure than the MLS, I had gotten kind of nods of approval to get Cloud CMA going. And, you know, in basically a month, I had access to over 100,000 agents here locally. Maybe not quite 100,000, but because of Carrots, right? So that was a big thing for us as far as getting started. And that's like, to me, still the dream right now from a software standpoint, is like getting like that something, you know, nationwide or, you know, I mean, the permissioning, and I want to ask you about that a little bit later, but the permissioning still is something to be solved. But it was a good alternative for the time. I think for you guys, though, you kind of grew out of Carrots, though, didn't you?
You know, it really got to the point where technologically and politically, it was much more expedient for us to enter into data shares than it was to have an aggregated database. I think that, you know, from our standpoint, you know, it wasn't politically the easiest of decisions for the board of directors of CRMLS to make, but it was the right one. And, you know, I think that, you know, data shares aren't perfect. We still think that consolidation makes the most sense for everybody, primarily because there's so much in cost savings and so much in economies of scale that can be built when you put all this stuff together. It's a double-edged sword. You know, you have people that'll tell you that, yes, there's those cost savings and those economies of scale that can be put forward, but you know, you lose that local edge. And, you know, from CRMLS's standpoint, you know, we want to keep that local edge. But, you know, come to the time of CalRed coming on board, they're really, from Southern California standpoint, there wasn't really any pressure on most of the MLSs in Southern California to even, you know, consider what,
no, yeah, absolutely,
you know,
not
what, yeah, they were doing. It was, it
they
was
were splintering even more if you could really, if you looked at it, right?
Yeah. There was primarily a push from, you know, central to Northern California, skirting the Bay Area for what it is that they were looking to do. And the people who ran the software company that CalRed used were great people, intelligent. I think they were looking to do the right thing.
Oh, totally, yeah.
But it was just a spotlight that was way too bright for a 1.0 version of an MLS system. And every MLS system that's out there went through the same growing pains. They just didn't do it in the same spotlight.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
you know, and it's unfortunate because I think, you know, they were good guys and they had some great concepts.
Yeah. So let's get into that a little bit. I mean, you said the word, the C word, the consolidation word. I mean, there's, you know, just announced was the Connecticut.
Yeah.
Right. And then, of course, you know, famously, the Bright MLS seems to be, everybody's pointing to as a poster child there. But, you know, to me, you know, just knowing the market here, I mean, those are kind of like, there's contiguous markets there. But, you know, your goal as far as consolidation is the entire state of California. When I think about this stuff, it's like they don't have a tenth of the issues and the struggles that you have to deal with as CRMLS's stated goal of kind of consolidating the entire state of California. And I know that, you know, reading and watching on the website, watching some videos, I guess for your thing, you're almost going a different, same strategy as before, where at least get all the data localized first, right? I mean, so it seems like you're kind of a little bit of phases. Is that right?
We have to. I get asked the question, why isn't this going quicker?
Right.
And recognize that technology plays no role in it whatsoever.
Yeah,
it's all politics.
Yeah.
And politics, by meaning politics, is, you know, what I talked about with local control. You know, there is a desire in a lot of marketplaces to maintain local control. And I understand that. From our board of directors standpoint, we go back to that basic premise, why does the consumer get more than the brokers and the agents that produce the data? Why do they get more? And keying in on that, you know, if we can aggregate the whole entire state, and right now, agents within the CRMLS system have access to 65% of the listings in the state of California. We go out every quarter and verify that number against, you know, online resources to make sure that we're looking at the right things, but they have access to 65% of that. And that, by access, I mean they have offers of compensation and cooperation that flow,
right,
to them. And that's really the key. You know, most brokers and agents are not going to go up and down the state to sell property, but this is a relationship game. And they've got to have the ability to work with those relationships that they've already built and help those people out. Because you never know when that relationship will come back around and give you an opportunity again. And the MLS industry is not helping our brokers and agents in doing that. So
we're going to
aggregate the data.
Yeah. So we're going to get some agents that are going to be listening to this. So, I mean, we're talking a high level, you know, we're in organized real estate. But for agents that are listening to this, how would you answer the question of an agent like, why isn't there one MLS in California? Why isn't there one MLS in the country? What would you say to that, to an agent on the street about that? I mean, I know you said that, you know, people are asking why it's going quicker, but how do you answer that? I mean, because I think a lot of agents would go, yeah, I mean, why? How would you answer that question to an agent?
It's a difficult question for me to answer from my standpoint and from my belief, you know, system is that there should be an aggregated database for the whole entire state. I can understand some desire to do things differently in different marketplaces as far as what's being offered, but you know, it's really technologically where CRMLS is going. Who cares what you use to access the data?
Absolutely, right.
Who cares, you know, where you're located? Who cares from, you know, a primary standpoint, what the technological back end is? Brokers and agents want the same access that the consumer is getting. And we're building tools and systems here within the CRMLS system to be able to give people that option. And, you know, consolidation is great because I think long-term that helps everybody in ways that they're just not really thinking about at this point. You know, we go out and we go to trade shows with our message, or it's my business message. And, you know, people don't believe me, but I'll share lists of people. It is 49-1 on the agent and broker level on the street in favor of what it is that we're talking about doing.
Right.
And so consolidation would drive costs down and give greater levels of service to the membership. But aggregation is going to be, you know, something of an expense. But most brokers and agents would tell you that if I had an access to the whole entire state, I'd pay a little bit more for that. And that's really what we're trying to push, is we're building the technological tools to – we've built them to accommodate all of this. Let's just get down to the brass tacks of putting the data in one place.
So is it really get to a point where it's like personality driven? Do you think if there were like, if you could pick off 10 guys in this state, that it could be, not pick off, that sounds like I'm calling a hit out, right? But, you know, if there was changes in leadership of, you know, 10 key positions, do you think you could make it happen? Or is it more systemic than that? Is it more deeper, like on a board level and broker level? Or, I mean, or is it that personality driven, do you think? Or is that too... Or can you answer that question?
No, at this point, you know, I've made mad everybody that I'm going to make mad. So nothing that I say here is going to change any of that. From my standpoint, it's all of those things. It can be a wide variety of reasons, and it depends upon the marketplace in which you walk in. I've had board of directors affirm a merger with this organization and have staff members undermine it by signing contracts that obligate the organization to where a merger is not going to happen. I've had brokers.
So just like Machiavellian shit like that.
Yeah. And I've had brokers that have put the kibosh on mergers occurring for competitive reasons. I've had, you know, situations where, you know, you just can't get the attention of the leadership. And, you know, even when you're feeding that leadership a lot of information from their brokers and their agents, there's just not a desire to do things. So it's across the board. And I'll be honest, there's times I look in the mirror and think, why am I doing this?
Yeah. I mean, that's my next question. I mean, for me,
like, why am I personally doing this? Right. I understand why CRMLS is doing it, but it is a slow, it's a guerrilla warfare in a large city. You have to clear one block at a time. And there's not like this tipping point where all of it falls, you know, in your favor. It's truly a one building at a time type concept.
I remember Michael Hayes used to say this was like California would be two states if it wasn't for water rights, right? You know, Northern NorCal and really SoCal. And I know like-
What about Jefferson?
Sometimes in like on my own company, like we give ourselves constraints, right? So this is just going to do this. It's not going to be a CRM. It's not going to be this. It's just going to do this, right? Have you ever thought about, you know, from CRMLS's perspective to say, you know what? The whole state, sure. I'm going to focus on the lower 50% or something. I mean, give yourself some constraint where that maybe is, you know, half manageable. I mean, have you ever thought of like putting some constraints like that on yourself?
No, because—
I mean, as far as CRMLS is concerned.
No, because in all honesty, you know, the license is ubiquitous in the state of California. There aren't two states. There's one state. And it is a broker's decision where their agents conduct their business. It's not CRMLS's decision. It's not any other MLS's decision in the state. It's not any association's decision. And it is the broker level decision. And to put up artificial barriers is the wrong idea, because it allows for some of the dysfunction that happens in this industry to occur.
Right. So, you know, we're an organization like Bright MLS is merging two MLSs together, and I guess the same.
That's an overnight 2.5 year success story.
An overnight, exactly. But I can only imagine, like, how many MLSs are here in California? You would know, right?
There's a little over 40.
Okay, still. So if it took 2 years for two MLSs in on the East Coast, so that would be 2 years times 40.
Well, it's not just two MLSs there. I mean, I think they've got –
well, they've got the associations that keep – yeah. I mean, I'm not downplaying that at all. It's a huge accomplishment. But I mean, it's not the state of California. I mean, none of this stuff is.
Yeah. People ask me all the time. I completely applaud what they've done with Bright MLS. You know, coming from somebody that has been fighting that fight, it is a mammoth undertaking. And the fact that they pulled off as many as they did – is to be commended.
And I think they're just getting started. I think once they start showing some success, so they're just going to get anybody who had some reservations will keep going. But I mean, what I'm saying is, like, it's tough to do that. And I'm coming back to it again, man. I mean, why are you biting up so much? Why are you biting off more than – I mean, is it more than you can chew? Or – I mean, I know they have one license. I get that. But I mean, still, I mean, that's just – it just seems like – what's the guy's name that rolls a rock up the hill and it comes back down? He's got to roll it back up the other side. I mean, it just seems like an arduous task to kind of to give yourself the goal of the state of California.
We're going after the willing, and it doesn't matter where those people reside. And, you know, the guy that's rolling it up the hill and then, you know, it rolls back down. You know, there's still some successes there along the way.
Well, from 20,000 to 82,000, I mean, that's fantastic.
And we're hoping to grow that number, you know, by 10% this year. So we just converted California Coastal Regional MLS over to CRMLS. Three of their largest associations came on board 2 weeks ago. So we're still moving forward.
Right.
And it's not like we've been completely stalled. And there are talks up and down the state with additional organizations that would like to align themselves with us at some
level. Oh, really? So maybe this could be like an exclusive that you could be announcing some things on
probably,
this podcast.
Probably not.
How about initials? Nobody's going to realize what MLS you're talking about if you just say the initials.
Probably not.
Anything south of here? I mean – north of here?
Yeah. Both.
So this kind of like notion of you guys are actually, you have CoreLogic, you have Matrix installed here. And you and I think MLS Listings are also having Paragon, another kind of a MLS system that's going to be in parallel, working parallel together, right?
Correct.
Can you talk to everybody about that kind of strategy as far as what you're trying to accomplish with that? And I mean, I remember back in the day when it was MLS Ally, and they had like, I think, six front ends back then, right? It was kind of crazy.
Yeah. And you chose it and you lived with it for as long as, you know, it was up. You know, really, Rob Larson, my CIO, and I sat down probably a good 4 or 5 years ago. And we've gone through, I think, 14 or 15 conversions at this point. And I looked at Rob and I said, how could we get our
senior because of the other MLS. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Everybody that we brought in in different systems. And I said, how do we build the technology that I never have to convert another agent ever, ever again? And we started really brainstorming, and the system of choice is where it really came from. You know, I would love to have a world where the only thing that we're really concerned about is the database, keeping it clean, keeping it in a position where brokers and agents can trust the information in it, and then allow brokers and agents to utilize whatever tool that they feel like they would want to access that data and have it be plug and play for them. And we are going to be rolling out the Matrix system and Paragon this year, early in the second quarter. And we're going to allow brokers and agents to choose which system they use, and it'll be a click of the button, and their experience will transfer from one system to the other. That's the difference. And
but it also, I guess, makes it a little bit easier. I don't want to say easy, but less difficult if you're going to expand, and those being one of the two largest MLS systems, that if they're already on a Paragon system, you can it can be less of a headache, right?
Yeah. And in all honesty, we want to bring more front ends in. We not to plug your
Well, go ahead.
If you want to. Cloud MLX, you know, is another offering that agents and brokers have within the CRMLS system. And, you know, it integrates fully with all the other, you know, cloud products we have. That's the experience that I want. Right. I want people to have this API, to have this ability to say, you know, I can build something better for brokers and agents. And they'll build whatever it is that they have to build, and, you know, brokers and agents will have choice.
So let's talk about that experience. I mean, you guys with Rob have been very instrumental in the whole standards game, right?
Yeah.
And he's, I know, you know, you by letting him contribute have done, you know, CRMLS as a company.
I've done a little bit myself.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, you run the damn thing sometimes, right? I get that. I mean, from a software company standpoint, it's getting easier to launch these things, right? But the permissioning still, right? And I said this in another podcast where I hate, people I work with come with me with problems and they don't have a solution, right? And I still haven't thought of this solution either of like somehow coming up with a way where it's all kind of built in, right? Where I can not only have the data, but then the next day I can start selling the software and making a living. And I think that's why you don't see as rich a software out there, because a developer comes in here and says, well, what? I have to get permission from 800 different times to sell it in different areas. It doesn't scale very well. Once you can figure out that scale thing, I think you're going to have more talent come in here as far as it's there. But I mean, do you have any ideas of how we could solve this
permissioning
issue?
That's one of the things that, you know, I'd love to have happen in the state of California. You know, we'll offer what's called the CRIB, the California Regional Information Base, out to any MLS, any association that wants to integrate it and deliver data out of it. And to have a unified, you know, I have attorneys on staff here that will build the unified contracts and have it be an online process. You know, there's so many of these initiatives that are coming from these outside companies. And it'll probably make some of my vendors mad, but, you know, the MLS industry should drive this, not pay another company to come in and fix a problem that is easily solved by ourselves. I'm very curious and I'm watching closely what they're doing with the MTP project in
Sam's very similar, like, you know, it's local control, but kind of an entity on top, right?
Yeah. An entity on top, and it's not carrots. It's the primary purpose is to aggregate the data. The primary purpose is to govern the data, including, you know, a single, you know, source of these contracts. And, you know, you still have to sign them with each one of the individual MLSs that are going to deliver data out of MTP. But the whole entire concept that, you know, these MLSs will get together, they'll agree upon one form. You're not, as a vendor, going, well, where do I go for all of this stuff? You're going to have one place to go for all of it, and bam, 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 you'll, you know, sign up and have a full data feed from every one of those MLSs. That's the way it should be done.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and, you know, rolling in permissioning there as well is just part of that online process is going to be huge for
Yeah, and from an MLS standpoint, the other thing they're planning on doing is governing the data together and having a team that, you know, looks for misuse of data across the whole entire database. That's a very key part of it too.
Yeah, maybe the East Coast and this in the middle will all kind of come together as one and somewhere down the road, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. This has been great. But I mean, it seems like consolidation is happening out there. So two things, but you know, at the same time, you've got other things like going on, what's going on in Denver too, right?
Yeah.
In the Boulder area. But to wrap things up, any advice you can give people? I mean, going from 20,000 to 80,000, it's been a number of years, but I mean, about that can help MLSs out there?
You know, keep an open mind. There's not one way to get a deal done. You have to really work with each one of the individual associations, you know, and it's going to be a long tail. I've have associations, the CCR MLS that I just talked about, that was a 7-year process. Others have been 5-6 years. The SoCal merger came together in 5 months, 6 months. So it's funny that the largest came together the quickest, and some of the smaller ones, it just takes a while.
Oh, no. I mean, in our world, the smaller vendors, the smaller MLSs take the longest. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a process. And don't think that the no is a no. The way I view things is every no I get is just a not yet.
Right.
So that would be my advice for people who are keen on taking the consolidation road. Build the relationships. Every no is just a not yet.
I think it is. I think very key is what you said there last is relationships. I think the more and more you kind of break bread with these people and they get to know you on a more personal level or something, I think that just breaks down a lot of barriers too. Like,
yeah. There's, you know, in my case, I know there's people that have come up to me and say, you're not what I thought you'd be.
Who's spreading those rumors, Art? I want to know.
Yeah. Initials GR.
No, I don't think so. All right. Well, this has been great. Dude, I totally appreciate you taking the time here. Thanks for everybody for listening. This has been Greg Robertson with Art Carter, CEO of CRMLS. And have a great day. Thanks.